Well, good evening, one and all. Greetings to those listening on the phone, listening to the recording, and praise God for His divine protection throughout the first part of this week and allowing us to come together to, again, worship Him in spirit and in truth. Our opening song for tonight's meeting is titled, Where Are the Reapers? And may God help each one of us to be a reaper in His hands, to bring precious souls to His kingdom. Oh, where are the reapers that garner in the sheaves of the good from the fields of sin? With sickles of truth must the work be done, and no one may rest till the harvest home. Where are the reapers, or who will come and share in the glory of the harvest home? Or who will help us to garner in the sheaves of the good from the fields of sin? Go out in the byways and search them all. The wheat may be there, though the weeds are tall. Then search in the highway and pass none by. But gather from all for the home on high. Where are the reapers, or who will come and share in the glory of the harvest home? Or who will help us to garner in the sheaves of the good from the fields of sin? The fields all are ripening and far and wide. The world is now waiting the harvest tide. But reapers are few and the work is great. And much will be lost should the harvest wait. Where are the reapers, or who will come and share in the glory of the harvest home? Or who will help us to garner in the sheaves of the good from the fields of sin? So come with your sickness, ye sons of men, and gather together the harvest grain. Toil on till the Lord of the harvest come. Then share ye His joy in the harvest home. Where are the reapers, or who will come and share in the glory of the harvest home? Oh, who will help us to garner in the sheaves of the good from the fields of sin? So may God indeed use you as a sharp sickle to go out into the fields of sin and harvest an abundant gathering in of precious souls to Jesus Christ. May we please bow our heads and kneel as far as we're able to do so for opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we meet here tonight in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, and we ask that Thy presence be here among us. Father, please bless our gathering here. We pray that the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit will be here and will indeed rule in our hearts, opening our minds and understanding to behold wondrous things out of your word of truth. And please, Spirit, quicken our understanding that we may comprehend the words that we hear and read, and may we obtain the understanding of truth tonight. May it benefit us. And we thank you so very much for allowing us to meet together and to have the word of life written out for us in simple language to understand. So we thank you for being here. And we also pray, dear Father, that you'll continue to be with those that have requested prayers. Please hear and answer their petitions according to thy perfect will. Please be with this church family and thy followers all around the world. And continue, Lord, to mold us and fashion us, refine us and purify us, that we may more and more reflect your image and live your life in this dark world. Thank you for being with us and for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So again, welcome one and all. And we're in Romans chapter 11. We left off at verse 9. And the last thing we were discussing was that even though God had chosen the children of Israel to be his people, to manifest his glory to the heathen, they had failed to do so, and so God had set them aside and had chosen other people to use in taking the gospel to all the world. And even though God had set aside the children of Israel as a corporate body, yet there were still individuals in that corporate body that if they would choose to follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and to separate themselves from the fallen Jewish system, God would still be able to graft them in and they would again become his chosen people. But that would be on an individual basis and not a corporate basis. But a lot of the children of Israel, the vast majority, did not understand these things. They were living in a dream world because they still believed that the Messiah had not yet come. They still believed that God still had chosen them as his people. And they still clung to the sacrificial and ceremonial system. In other words, they looked forward to a Messiah to come to bring an end to all of that when the Messiah had already arrived. So that's where we left off last time. And now we pick it up at verse 9. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. So we know that the Jewish nation fell from God, and Paul said, God forbid. In other words, as he was an Israelite, just to imagine them falling from God's grace and being completely set aside, Paul just couldn't take that idea. But he did say in the very next part of the sentence that they did fall. So he recognized that the nation had been set aside, but yet there was still a chance that the individual Israelites could be brought back in to the idea of a chosen people unto God. And he said, so when the gospel went to the Gentiles, it hopefully would have the effect to make the Jews jealous that the gospel was no longer just within their grasp and possession, but it had gone to other people, and hopefully that idea would wake them up to the aspect of Jesus Christ being the true Messiah. And in embracing him, they could once again be a partaker of that precious chosen election. But this time it would be of grace, not by a covenant promise. Continuing, verse 12. Now if the fall of them, or of the Jews, be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, in other words, the opening of God's grace to the entire world of mankind, what shall be the receiving of, or what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So even though God had cast away and set aside and diminished the relationship he had with his once chosen people of Israel, yet individuals of them could still become part of his true church by accepting Jesus Christ, and thus be resurrected from dead to life spiritually. And the same thing is taking place in this world today. God has set aside all of the fallen churches of Babylon. He set aside the Catholic Church. He set aside all the Protestant churches, including the Adventist Church. We read here that the Jewish church has been set aside already. But there's individual members of all of these churches that if they recognize that Christ is no longer in their midst, but he's outside the gates of their church, and they choose to follow him out of the camp, then they will be brought back into being part of God's true church. In other words, resurrected back to life in a spiritual sense. Verse 16. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. So who's the root here? This tree that Paul is talking about that has a root and a stalk and branches, who's the root? Any ideas? Amen. The root is Christ. So everyone that is connected with Christ, partakers of that holy root, will grow up and bear fruit. There'll be a branch connected with that stalk and root. The Jewish church was a branch off of the tree of Christ, rooted and grounded in him. But they rejected Christ. And they, as a branch, was broken off. But then the Gentiles were grafted in. The gospel was taken to them and to all the world. And whoever would receive Christ as the Messiah would, as a branch, be grafted into that tree of life. So now the Jews, as a withered branch, were cut off. They were broken off of that tree. But they can be grafted back in if they would accept Christ. But in order to accept Christ, they had to reject the church. They couldn't have both Christ and their corrupt church, because Christ went outside the gates of the camp in order to provide salvation for all of mankind. So then the Jews, and in today's language, every one of modern Israel, have to leave the fallen churches that they're a member of in order to become connected, grafted into Jesus Christ, and become part of that holy tree, become part of God's true church that is without fault or blemish or any such thing. If they remain a part of their corrupt church, there's no way that they can be holy and without blemish, because they'll become a partaker of the sins of the church and will receive of her plagues. So you either have the church and have destruction, or you leave the church and connect yourself with Christ and have life. It's one or the other. So Paul, in talking to the Gentiles, said, since the Jews used to be God's true church, but because they rejected the Messiah, they were cast away from God. And you, the Gentiles, that were rejected of God, have now, through Christ, been accepted of God. You've been grafted into Christ. And since you've been grafted in and now are partaker of life, don't boast yourself against the Jews that were cast away from God, because the same thing might happen to you if you end up giving up Christ. So Paul here was bringing out the idea that there's no such gospel truth founded in Scripture of the belief of once saved, always saved. There's no such truth in Scripture that makes you always a follower of God just because you once connected yourself with Christ. There's always a chance that you will be rejected of God if you depart from Christ. Just as a branch that's connected on an apple tree cannot bear fruit unless it remains connected to that apple tree, so a Christian who has left Christ cannot bear fruit to the glory of God. And thus, in being separate from Christ, the name Christian cannot save them from destruction, along with all the other dead and withered branches. So if you are a Christian in name only, but not in life and character, then you are not connected with Christ. You are not bearing fruit to His glory. And if that is your sad state, you will be destroyed because you're not connected with life, with Christ. But the good news of the gospel is you don't have to remain withered and dried up as a dead branch. But you can come back to the Savior and be grafted into Him and be able to again become alive and to bear fruit to His glory. And if you're connected with Christ and are bearing fruit to the glory of God, you have no reason to exalt yourself over others because you were once like them. The only thing that you can glory in safely is that Christ is your Lord, God, Master, Savior, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. So it's safe to glory in the Lord, but not glory in your position over others. Amen. Friend as well. Best friend. So Paul here tells the Gentiles, you may say that the branches, the Jews, were broken off from God's salvation that I might be grafted into God's salvation. He continues, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. So again, there's no such thing in the Bible to support the belief, the doctrine of once saved, always saved. The Jews were connected to God. They were at one time His chosen people, but they rejected Christ. And even though God sent messengers and prophets and truth and light to try and bring them back and wake them up to their fallen state, they refused all overtures of God's mercy, and He finally set them aside, cast them away, and they're no longer, since that time now, 2,000 years, they're no longer God's chosen people. But they can again become chosen people on an individual basis by accepting Christ as their Savior. So here we see that there's a group of people that in the beginning were connected with God, and then through apostasy were cast away from God. And then there was a group of people that in the beginning were cast away from God, but then were accepted of God. And it all has to do with that tree of life, with Jesus Christ. Connected with Him, grafted into Him, you have life. You are God's child. You're His chosen people. But apart from Christ, a name cannot save you from destruction, no matter how exalted that name might be. Paul continues, verse 22. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. And praise God for His merciful kindness, because He cast away the corporate body of Israel, but He didn't cast away every single individual in that corporate body. He still held out the possibility, the hope, the chance, the way in which they could again become connected with God as part of his chosen people. And that way is Jesus Christ. So praise his holy name for making salvation possible even to those who were once connected with it but then gave it up. There's still a chance of coming back and regaining their first love. And it's the same for each one of us, dear ones. If we were once connected with Christ, but then the world has come in and separated us from Christ, we can again be grafted back into Christ and regain our first love that we've lost. Praise God for instantly not destroying us when we wandered away, but for continuing to offer that invitation to come back. And all because he loves us and is unwilling that any should perish, but that all should come to Christ and receive eternal life. Amen, dear sister. Only God could do such a thing, and that's because his love is unpretending. It's unconditional. It's full, complete, and infinite. God doesn't hold grudges. And praise his holy name that he doesn't treat us like we treat one another. May we indeed be filled with his holy, pure, true, infinite love. And to get rid of this worldly understanding and feeling of love. May we indeed be like him, godly, and no longer worldly. And this is my prayer. Are there any thoughts, questions, comments, dear ones, before we open it up to a season of prayer? Please feel free. You know, it's interesting. Christ is likened to being a tree of life. And, of course, the enemy of Christ, which would be the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree of death, would be Lucifer. So Adam and Eve were really faced with being able to choose between Christ or Lucifer right there in the garden. And sad to say, they chose Lucifer. But God, in his love and mercy, allowed them to have the possibility to again be a partaker of the tree of life. And that is to remain faithful to him by accepting the Redeemer. That was the sacrificial system, the lamb that was given to them and then was expanded upon to the Israelites. That way, the Savior to become connected with that tree of life once again. Praise God's holy name. Well, let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And I'll go ahead and begin, and any who would like to pray afterwards, please feel free. So let us bow our heads. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for making the plan of salvation possible, that we, even though we've cast away salvation, may again come into connection with it through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for thy great infinite love for us, Thank you for wooing us and drawing us back through your overtures of love and mercy and blessings and kindness and long-suffering to each one. Forgive us for our waywardness. Forgive us for stumbling, Father. And thank you for not casting us away or rewarding us according to our evil deeds, but continuing to hold out to us a better way, a way of escape and freedom through our Savior, Jesus Christ, your Son. I pray, Father, that you will continue to work upon each heart, continue to draw us away from the world and from all the false ideas and understandings of the world, that we may be connected with our Savior, with the truth and the correct understanding of love and all that is connected with it. Please fill our hearts with your love. Fill them to overflowing, that we might indeed give you glory by showing this love to others. And forgive us for falling so short in doing so. But help us to come up ever higher in manifesting your character of love to all around us. Thank you that we're a day closer to heaven, a day closer to our Savior's return. And please help us to get more and more ready each day so that we will not be passed by, but that we may be taken off of this wicked world to meet our Lord in the air and evermore be with him. Please continue to be with those that have requested prayers, petitions, and we thank you, Father, for hearing and answering each one. Thank you so much for allowing our dear sisters back to be better and almost completely mended. Please continue to work within her your transforming healing. And thank you, Father, for doing so to each one of us. Please be with this church family. Continue to work upon hearts. Continue to shut Satan out of our midst, out of our lives. And may we indeed draw ever closer together, pressing closer together until we achieve your goal in our lives, and that is unity with one another and with our Lord Jesus. Thank you so much for bringing this about, that the world may see and know and understand that we have been with the Lord, and that they too can have the Lord as their prized possession. It's possible. Again, thank you for thy love, and we love you too. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen. Well, dear ones, are there any other thoughts or comments? Any songs you'd like to sing? Any testimonies? Any requests? Please feel free. Well, dear ones, may God bless. Keep looking up. Keep drawing closer to the Savior and becoming more like him in character each day. Be filled more and more with his love and give him more and more glory. And looking forward to fellowshipping with you on Friday, just a couple days from now. And what a joy it will be when we meet again and the Sabbath is here. I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is is no speech nor language. Where their voice is not heard, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Psalms 19:1-6. So may the warmth from the sun of righteousness indeed find your heart and bring you peace. So may God bless, dear ones, until we meet again.